You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network, and I don't think we're going to waste any time. We're going to jump right into this.
No, let's get into
this. I know everybody is super excited to try to win a couple hundred bucks today in that daily giveaway with our Break into Spring Multi-State Text to Win contest, and also qualify for that big grand prize, a queen mattress set from Verlo, over $1,300 value. And Brian, without further ado, have your Civic Media apps ready, because I'll let you give out today's word.
That's very nice of you to bequeath me that honor. The word for this hour is wake, W-A-K-E. Please do not add and bake to the end of it. It is just wake, W-A-K-E. Text that on your Civic Media app for your chance to win $200 today. And your chance to win, as Jamie mentioned, that Verlo mattress set, a queen-size Verlo mattress, the sheets, the mattress protector, two active dough pillows, over $1,300 value. That'll be given away after this. We're only doing it for the rest of the week. So we've given away $200, $1,200 we've given away so far. And today we'll make it another $200. You could be that winner if you text the word WAKE, W-A-K-E, using your Civic Media app. Don't send it over the phone.
No.
Use your app. It's all technology. You know how that works.
Absolutely. And you have until 8 o'clock to get us that word.
Until 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And yes, we will repeat the word as the hour goes on. Don't panic. But it's wake. W-A-K-E. That's it. There you go. There's stuff we need to know. This big news from yesterday. I can't believe it. But why shouldn't I believe it? Because it's America. Mark Wayne Mullen will serve as Donald Trump's next Department of Homeland Security Secretary, elevating the U.S. senator, who's never introduced a bill, never done anything, to helm the agency at the center of the president's controversial immigration enforcement effort and an ongoing shutdown. The Senate confirmed the nomination Monday night, less than 3 weeks after Mullen was tapped by Trump to take over from the embattled Kristi Noem. Final confirmation vote was 54-45, with GOP Senator Rand Paul voting no, and everybody's favorite, not really a Democrat, John Fetterman and Martin Heinrich voting yes.
In other news headlines that you need to know today, Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Company is laying off part of its global workforce. We can confirm that some employees have been notified today of a reduction in force that is impacting our global workforce. That is what a company spokesperson said yesterday. The company did not elaborate on how many employees were impacted. Harley-Davidson reported in February that in 2025, a profit of a total of $339 million, a 26% increase from just the year before.
And in Wisconsin, federal judges ruled in favor of the state and a coalition of 20 other states that challenged a declaration by President Trump's administration to limit access to puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and other care for transgender children and adolescents. The U.S. District Court in Oregon issued a ruling on March 19th blocking the declaration made in December by U.S. Health and Human Services Director Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said in a statement, "The federal government should be respecting people's freedoms. Secretary Kennedy shouldn't be attempting to stop patients from making their own medical decisions, and he certainly shouldn't be overstepping his authority to do so." So, federal judge upholding that.
And finally, the U.S. economy was supposed to start the year fueled by an unusually large jump in tax refunds from President Donald Trump's tax cut legislation, yet spiking gas prices are on track to eat up those refunds. Next spring is projected to be the largest tax refund season of all time, the president said in December, but that was before the Iran war. Oil and gas prices have soared since then, and the nationwide average price of gas reaching $3.94 $0.25 per gallon on Sunday. That's up more than a dollar from just a month earlier. Lower and middle income households are likely to be hit particularly hard because they receive lower refunds while spending a greater proportion of their earnings on gas. And so that leads us to the next question here this morning, Brian.
Yes.
But we would love people to chime in, and we'd love to hear from you in your particular area of the state. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. What are the prices in your location right now? And are these rising prices going to change any of your plans? Because this is where we start to look at, how do we save some money? You know, and if you were with us earlier, I mentioned that my Crosstrek filled that up yesterday for the first time in a couple of weeks. It was $35 when I filled up 2 weeks ago, over $50 yesterday, which
I was up 40 cents from a week ago. It is rough, and it is spring break season.
Yes.
According to some new studies, about 23% of Wisconsinites plan to travel for spring break. Good for you. 37 are going to take road trips. That would be nice. 35 are saying beach vacations. Those are the most popular choices. But we know it's going to be one. Going to the airport right now seems like no deal. That's not happening. But travel prices are going up everywhere. Gas prices are averaging $3.63 here in Wisconsin, more than a dollar higher than a month ago. National prices nearing $4. I've seen a lot over $4. Airfare is also expected to increase due to higher fuel costs. That, and like I said, add in that thing. Now, you had the question, how high do prices have to go before you can change your plans? For day to day, I don't think there is people have to get to work. That's the problem.
Yeah.
For discretionary travel, it might change. But if let's just say, for example, you made reservations to go to Disney World with your kids over spring break. I don't know where you got the money. Good for you. You've been saving up since they were born. You can't get that money back. You sunk that cost. So you have to still go, even though everything's going to be a nightmare. If you were just going to drive up north, you can justify it. All right, well, we're going to bring lunch in the car.
Right.
And that'll cover it. So people will always find a way to do the things they want to do. They'll just have to make adjustments. I don't think there's ever a price that we will stop.
Right.
Because what are you going to do? Just sit at home? You can't go to work. You can't go anywhere.
I think it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a good friend the other day, and she lives in the Twin Cities, and she and her husband work in the same vicinity in the downtown area. And so they've actually adjusted their schedules a little bit. This is one of those things that people are doing to change, because they were taking separate cars in. He would leave at like 8 a.m. She would leave around 9:30. They'd come home at separate times. So they've adjusted their schedules to the point now, just to save just a little bit of gas money, because they have about a 25-minute commute, and traffic, because it's a metro area, gets a little tight sometimes. So they've adjusted to the point where she now leaves at the same time he does, because his schedule is a little bit more rigid than hers. So she actually goes in when he does. She walks a couple of blocks from their parking ramp now, because her parking ramp was closer, but she's like, now I just walk the couple of blocks, and she's like, we've made it work that way, so we're commuting together.
That is a compromise. Yep. I would hate to
well
make.
And she said it's not going to work every day, but she said we're able to do it at least 3 days a week. And Minneapolis also has a great train system. I know other cities do too. There's a lot of public transit in some of the cities here in Wisconsin. So I also have friends in some other metro areas of the country that are like, I don't usually do public transit, but I'm going to do more public transit, more trains. I'm going to try to do buses more often, just because they're trying to keep down those gas prices just a little bit with some of their own vehicles, because
it's true.
Yeah.
And you see how quickly it's gone up has been the shock.
Mm-hmm.
So this is experts are saying, listen, if you're going to change your plans, you got to plan ahead. That's the main thing. If you're going to the airport, we talked about this yesterday, it bears repeating. My daughter is coming in tonight with her fiance, and they're flying out tomorrow. And guess who gets to take them to the airport?
Ooh.
That's right, Dad. But I may have to take them. Their flight's not till tomorrow night. I may have to take them right after the show tomorrow.
Yes.
And, I'm sorry. You need to get to the airport 12 hours ahead of time.
That might give you just enough time to get through TSA at this point. Yes.
You go through TSA, get yourself a sandwich, and get right on the plane. It's going to be a nightmare. It's just, yeah. And like I said, experts are also saying, and I love the experts who speak like we already have. Bring snacks instead of driving through. Bring, you know, limit your spending. Choose a free activity. Where do you find it? Free activities. I mean, you can stop. You can go if you're going to a national park. Once you get in, you can hike around. You can see all that for nothing.
Of course, you know. But I also think about some things. We have a couple of things that are on our schedule that we need to travel for, and we were looking at the price of flights over the weekend. We love to fly out of Madison because it's always very convenient. We've been able to do that in the past. The other day when we were looking for flights for my husband to be able to go a couple of days ahead of me, if this is something we choose to do later in April, he was like, I can't even get a flight out of Madison until like the end of the month, until the end of April. Wow. We're not even talking like in March. We were talking the end of April. He's like, there are absolutely no flights in that direction that I can purchase at this moment in time flying out of Madison. So
what's going on?
Well, I don't know if it's just the TSA. I don't know if they've had
they're limiting flights maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe those are just, it was a very popular destination. He needs to go to Las Vegas for the National Association of the Broadcasters Convention. So maybe flights to Vegas.
Oh, is that right? That's why he's going to Vegas?
Yes, so maybe Vegas is
not
really
to see Backstreet Boys at the Sphere?
No, not this time around. He did want to go.
Parker, I finally said something Parker recognized. What?
Backstreet Boys. Oh boy.
He did contemplate getting tickets see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere, though. So that was part of the conversation. But I don't know if he's going to do that or not. But he was looking at. He's like, I think it might be cheaper if I actually drive to Minneapolis and fly to Las Vegas because the flights out of O'Hare were also incredibly expensive. And you know, because now we're looking at a point where if you've got one of those trips. Do you start thinking about, is it worth driving? Is it worth sitting there waiting? Is it worth paying the gas prices? Is it worth paying the increase in what plane tickets are going to be right now because of these prices? So
at this point, to be honest, I would drive pretty much anywhere in the continental United States rather than fly.
Yeah.
The thought of having to stand in line, where did we say? Was it Atlanta that was 4.5 hours to stand in line?
Yes.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
There's not a chance I could. Well, and to your point about your husband maybe driving to Minneapolis to fly out, that's why my daughter comes here because they live in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And it's much easier to get a lot of places and cheaper to come to Chicago. Plus, she can drop her dog off and get free boarding.
Well, of course.
But, perk, which is fine.
It's a perk.
Yeah.
So I did.
It is a perk.
I did a little investigating. If you are going to be doing any sort of air travel and you want to look at the smaller regional airports throughout the state of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Madison, Appleton, even during the busiest times, you're looking at about a 30-minute wait time. That's approximate on average. Milwaukee and Appleton tend to peak early as far as those wait time lengths at around 6 to 7 in the morning. Madison's rush hits a little bit later, right around 9 to 10, where you're going to have a little bit longer wait. So manageable, but pretty typical. Once you get into the larger hubs, though, it's a different story. At O'Hare, the same 9 to 10 a.m. window can mean closer to a 45-minute or longer wait. In Minneapolis, the busiest time isn't even during the day. It's late at night, around 10 to 11 p.m., with about an hour wait time to get through TSA right now.
People are trying to flee.
I guess.
Got to get out of Minnesota.
So airports, road travel. I mean, I think everybody's going to have to kind of you're not going to probably cancel trips altogether, but I think people are going to really start thinking what makes more sense now with these gas prices. 719.
Well, if you're hitting the road, drive
drive carefully.
Quickly. Don't just sit in the left lane and play on your phone. But that's a whole other conversation.
I was going to say carefully, but okay.
No, Jamie, come on. Quickly, keep it moving. Swiper Stay coming up next. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
722 right now. We hope that you are having a great start. start to your Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. It is time to talk about something that has nothing to do with gas prices or President Trump or anything. We're going to dive into pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I'm good. We've got some decent stories. One I've been looking forward to.
Just decent today?
Well, we've got one I've been looking forward to for a couple months.
Normally you show much more enthusiasm for these stories.
Yeah, we have stories.
Being coy.
Okay.
All right, what do you got? Let's hit it.
All right, swipers stay. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie are going to have to decide whether they want to stay and hear more about it or swipe on to the next one. If they can't make up their mind, Parker will be the tiebreaker. Let's move on. Story number one, a female artist is sued by a production company.
I'm going to swipe.
I don't care. Swipe.
Okay.
Artists get sued all the time.
They do. Fans are not happy
Boy,
with
Frank
the new...
Frank looks very upset that we passed.
It's fine. They just put it first. It's totally fine. Hey, it's your guys' show.
Okay.
I'm just here.
Okay.
Fans are not happy
I feel
with
really
the new...
bad right now.
Can't even read a headline.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Fans are not happy with new Disney movie trailer.
Ooh.
Stay.
I'll stay.
You guys are just trying to make me feel better.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, I'm kidding. The trailer for the live-action version of the movie Moana was released yesterday, and fans are not particularly happy with it. Did you guys see it by chance?
No.
I saw that
no,
it was released, but I didn't watch it.
I'm tired of these live-action remakes of great animation. Let the animation stand. Jon Favreau, we don't need a Jungle Book, my favorite. anyway.
I'm pretty
go
sure
ahead,
he did
Frank.
The Lion King one, too.
He did the Lion King. I left that out because I didn't see that one either.
But a lot of people hold that same sentiment, Brian. So the two main critiques of the trailer are the heavy use of CGI and the fact that the popular character of Maui is literally just Dwayne The Rock Johnson with long hair.
Okay.
Now, The Rock voiced Maui in the original animated movie, so there's familiarity, but it's...
At least he can act.
I implore you to go check it out.
I
don't.
All right, I'll go see it. I like The Rock.
I
Listen,
do too.
I'm all about The Rock. People's eyebrow, I go way back. But I still am down on these live-action remakes.
Yeah, I'm not a big live-action person.
A couple people on Twitter mentioned bullying the creators of the movie, so they change it like what happened with the Sonic movie. Do you remember when that trailer was released?
Oh, with
Parker
the teeth.
Knows what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
Sonic had weird teeth.
Yes, he did have weird teeth.
And people bullied it so the creators so much that they changed it back to a more cartoony animation, so... That's been thrown out a couple times. Go on Twitter. Go
so wait,
on
are
Threads.
We, are
and
we
check
proud?
Out the
we're pro bullying now. Is that the stance we take?
You know, I think bullying some people,
has its place.
Nope, I'm not going there. You almost got me there, Mr. Newman.
Almost did.
You almost
Let's
got me.
Crafty.
We're moving over. A rapper is taking over Times Square.
Like in a hostile takeover?
I guess we're going to have to find out.
I'll stay.
50 Cent is partnering up with Planet Hollywood.
Oh, no. What?
Planet Hollywood and 50 Cent are a thing again?
I was going to say Planet Hollywood's still around.
Okay, all right.
In a $100 million deal to build a celebrity-packed mega venue where fans can party, catch surprise performances, and rub elbows with A-listers all in one night.
So
it's gonna be Times Square,
and 50 Cent won't be invited because he's not really an A-lister anymore.
Oop! PH Live is designed to be a full-blown celebrity magnet, hosting everything from pop-up concerts and movie premieres to high-end private parties and major cultural events. So my question to you guys is there any chance that this actually works and is successful?
Well,
because
because
said, it's very, very early 2000s.
Right.
And New Yorkers don't go to Times Square.
No. Tourists go to Times Square.
It's touristy and jive. And yeah, this is the original Planet Hollywood. I think I went once or twice in different locations.
It's just
another one of those chain restaurants that comes and goes.
Yeah.
And the people will be there for the big opening, and that's it.
Yeah. And if you have to call it PH Live, you're trying too hard to make it cool again.
Right.
That was my same thought. They're also trying to open up the next one in Louisiana, Brian.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right, the one we've been waiting for, not to grease the wheels here or anything, but celebrity arrest footage was finally released.
I know this story. We'll stay.
All right. Oh, yes, I think I know this one, too. I'll stay.
The Justin Timberlake body cam footage is officially here, everybody.
Yes.
What tour is he going on, Frank?
Just for a couple of days.
What are you visiting?
Yeah, I'm on tour.
What are you doing?
I'm on a world tour.
A what?
A world tour.
Doing what?
Hard to explain. A world tour. I'm Justin Timberlake.
What's your name?
Justin Timberlake.
You are Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
It's so good.
I like the next line. You left the last line out where the cop goes, "Do you have an ID that proves that?"
Yeah. The fact that he was drunk in the car, having to explain to the cop what he does for a living, just made me so happy.
Yeah. And the fact that he couldn't describe what a world tour was.
Well, when you've had as much to drink as he obviously did in that video, words are hard. I get it.
That whole thing. And should we laugh at somebody's misfortune?
No.
Yeah, probably in this case, because everybody's okay.
Look, man, if the worst you get for DUI is a little public embarrassment, I think you're doing all right.
Yeah, but like he was trying to be charming, and the cop was having none of his charm. None of it.
No.
Do you mean, the world tour? World tour. It's so
and later
good.
He goes, is this the normal way you guys do it? Like handcuffing people?
No.
That's swiper stay.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure.
It's 7:29 right now. Oh, this is Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Asian carp are back. We'll talk about it on the other side of the news.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. If you're listening in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or Wausau on WXCO or even in Richland Center in WRCE, thank you so much for joining us. Hey, Brian, we have to take some more qualifiers because we are still breaking into spring with this multi-state text to win word of the hour until 8 o'clock on your Civic Media app. You can text us the word WAKE, W-A-K-E. Wake is your word until 8 o'clock, and that's going to qualify you for some really great stuff.
Yeah, you can win $200 today, and you can be qualified for the grand prize, which is a Verlo queen-size mattress pack, including not only the mattress set, but the mattress cover, some sheets, and two active dope pillows, so over $1,300 value. So, again, about 24 minutes for this word. The word, again, is wake, as Jamie said, W-A-K-E, so get those in. Now, President Trump has said he's working to save the Great Lakes from invasive carp, but his administration is holding up money for a $1 billion project to keep them at bay. He posted on Truth Social last week that he was working with Democratic Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer to, quote, save the Great Lakes from the rather violent and destructive Asian carp. He also said he was going to ask governors of Great Lakes states to join the fight. Well, that all sounds great, but the reality doesn't match the message. So what is happening with funding, and how big an issue are the Asian carp? We're joined by Titus Seilheimer. He is the fisheries outreach specialist at Wisconsin Sea Grant, and we're going to find that out. Titus, thanks for being here. This is something I haven't heard about these Asian carp in a while. For a while, they were big news all the time for people outside of your industry. So for those who aren't familiar, how big an issue are these invasive carp, and why are they such a problem?
Yeah, great question. They are one of the many invasive species that we're worried about, getting into the Great Lakes. And they've been in North America for about 50 years, and they were brought in originally to they were kind of used for aquaculture in the South on fish farms or kind of wastewater treatment, but then they escaped into the Mississippi River system. And so they have been kind of slowly over that time moving north and approaching the Great Lakes. So the Illinois River especially, and then through the Chicago area waterway system, the canals there that connect Lake Michigan to the Mississippi River system. That's kind of this pinch point that we're mostly talking about.
So you said that they're approaching the Great Lakes and the system right now, but how serious is this current threat that we're seeing from the invasive carp?
I mean, it is definitely, I think, you know, in two ways. Like it's definitely a big threat. Like anytime a new invasive species gets into the Great Lakes, like that, you know, basically resets kind of what we know. And I'm actually in Michigan right now at a Great Lakes meeting, you know, hearing about Lake Michigan all day yesterday and all five Great Lakes. And so, you know, like we know what we know right now, but if you bring in these new species, which are, you know, the bighead carp, the silver carp especially, are these filter feeders. So they could, you know, really change the food webs in the Great Lakes, you know, especially places like Green Bay, Saginaw Bay, Lake Erie, where it's, you know, there's a lot of nutrient loading, a lot of food for them. But then even like the harbors and the rivers of the Great Lakes, like that could be a new species that really shifts things and means that we have to kind of figure out, you know, what is going on now? Like how do things work? So keeping them out is definitely, it is, you know, sort of the most effective way to, you know, protect the Great Lakes rather than try to deal with them later.
I'm sure a lot of fishermen are going to laugh at me for asking this, but define invasive species. I know basically it means species that weren't in an environment and then are introduced. But what is the damage that invasive species really can cause to, like you said, if they get into the Great Lakes or these harbors where they haven't been before?
Yeah. So, I mean, and actually like invasive is like there's this continuum of species. So we have, you know, the non-native species. So, you know, that came from somewhere else in the Great Lakes. A lot of those, like a lot of our top species that we worry about, zebra mussels, quagga mussels, round gobies, they came into the Great Lakes in the ballast water tanks of ships, but then there's also, you know, so they came from Europe, kind of the Eurasian area in these ballast tanks when the St. Lawrence Seaway opened up. But, you know, they're non-native, not necessarily, you know, we got about 190 non-native species in the Great Lakes now. Not all of them are, you know, what we would call invasive or have big noticeable impacts. So even then you can have a species that's new, but if it doesn't, you know, if you don't see the impacts, it's not always, you might not consider it invasive then. It's just sort of a non-native species. Okay.
We're joined by Titus Seilheimer. He is the fisheries outreach specialist at Wisconsin Sea Grant. Now, Brian had mentioned that the federal government has paused funding, even though that money was already approved. So what kind of impact is this going to have? How is this going to delay things, I guess, would be the question.
Yeah, so this the funding specifically is for it's the Brandon Road Lock and Dam Project. Okay. So this is within the Illinois or the Chicago area waterway system. And it's, so there's this big, you know, this is part of a big plan. I think the money we're talking about is like 200 some million out of a three-stage billion-dollar project. So it's a big project, but what they're going to do is upgrade this lock and dam. So that these are where the barges that can go from the Mississippi River into the Great Lakes that they use, and they're going to put a lot of, they're going to upgrade them. So they have an electrical barrier. They're going to have a bubble curtain. They're going to have sound. They're going to be able to flush out species when the barges go through. So it is really kind of upgrading the system to prevent carp, but also other species from moving from the Mississippi River system into the Great Lakes. So, you know, it's been, you know, this is kind of the main, the highest risk point for species moving into the Great Lakes from the Mississippi River. So it's definitely, I think, an important step forward in preventing new species, you know, carp and other species in the future.
How do those barriers work? And it seems like I said, this is a story that's been going on for well over 10 years. It seems like they're moving kind of slow. We hear that these carp are invasive. Well, they really seem to be taking their time. How long a process is it for them to make their way up to this choke point? And then once they get to the choke point, what are they encountering?
Yeah. So, you know, I think, and part of this, you know, maybe we haven't heard about it as much in the last, you know, in the recent years, is because they have kind of slowed down. So they, you know, it was kind of this, you know, this, I don't know, I don't want to use, you know, I guess March, you know, it's this march north from where they started in, I think, Arkansas, and they're, yeah, you know, moving upstream and, you know, coming up, you know, fairly quickly through the Illinois River system. And really, you know, some of the impacts to the rivers are just that they're so abundant now, and they kind of, you know, it's all carp in some of these areas. But they've actually kind of paused, like they got to a certain point in the Illinois River system, which is actually downstream of this Brandon Road lock and dam. And they've kind of, you know, haven't really moved upstream that much in advanced in, you know, it's something like 20 years now. So it has kind of slowed, which I think is a good thing. It gives us time to, you know, get this project in place. And, you know, it's kind of nice. They're cooperating with us, and the, you know, the time it takes for some of these massive Army Corps of Engineers projects to finish. So, yeah, so it's, you know, but then just upstream of this Brandon Road lock and dam is the electrical barrier, which you've, you know, heard about over the years. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, that's been in place for quite a while. And that is, you know, this electrical barrier that keeps the fish from swimming up towards the lake. They get stunned, and then they would just kind of float back downstream. So it's not like we're totally you know, there aren't any defenses, but yeah, this would add another level to that.
Titus Seilheimer is our guest. He's the fisheries outreach specialist at Wisconsin Sea Grant. If invasive carp do actually make it into the Great Lakes, Titus, what does that essentially mean for Wisconsin fishing, the industry around it, and maybe even the economy?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, carp in the Great Lakes is a big question. Like, I think there's a lot of uncertainty there. You know, if you're following the other Great Lakes stories, things like the kind of decline of Lake Whitefish, especially in the main part of Lake Michigan, you know, that is being driven by other invasive species like the quagga mussels. And, you know, kind of the interesting thing about these carp, like they can get to 100 pounds, like they're big fish.
My gosh.
But they're just swimming along, you know, filter feeding. Like they're eating the littlest stuff. They're eating algae and plankton, but they can get really big. And, you know, so in one sense, some of their easiest food isn't, you know, quite available because of the mussels. But, you know, I think it's definitely the, you know, they would be feeding and they would be growing. And if they, you know, would probably, you know, go to places that have more food availability, like Green Bay, the Fox River, harbors, rivers, you know, on the Wisconsin side, especially, like that's kind of where we have, there's probably a lot more food for them. So it could really change, you know, I think how people enjoy, you know, rivers and the lakes, and, but can also shift some of the food web stuff and impact, you know, the desirable fish species that we want to see.
Titus, are they good for anything else? Like, can they be harvested? I remember one time having a carp sandwich, but I don't think it's a kind of food that most fish that most food are going for. Do they serve any other purpose?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, interest, like in Asia, where they're, you know, they're actually farmed there, they're a highly desirable food fish over there, and kind of the backbone, I guess, of their fish farming in some places. And, you know, here, I think, you know, for us, like we hear carp and we're like, ooh, you know,
yeah,
like you hear carp, you think common carp, you think, you know, this bottom feeding fish that's full of contaminants and maybe you don't want to eat it. But you know, these are, because they're filter feeding, they actually grow really fast. They have a much low contaminants. And I guess the, you know, as a food. Like I've had, I think silver carp tacos one time, and it was, you know, you've seasoned the meat. It's really good. And, you know, so people are, you know, there is kind of an interest in marketing them as a food fish. Kopi is the new name, C-O-P-I.
So
if you see, if you see Kopi on the menu, you're eating one of these invasive carp. So
interesting, interesting.
Fighting the power, doing doing your bit to save ecology.
We've got about a minute left, Titus. For people who boat or maybe fish, is there anything that they should or shouldn't do to help maybe prevent the spread of the invasive carp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the basic steps that we all do as boaters and anglers, you know, don't move water from one place to another, you know, drain your boat, clean your, you know, even your canoe or your kayak, clean it off because there could be stuff in there. You know, don't dump your bait bucket because they've actually found, you know, some of these little carp in with bait. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Titus Seilheimer is a fisheries outreach specialist at Wisconsin Sea Grant. Seagrant.wisc.edu is the website. You can go check it out. Enjoy your conference, Titus. We enjoyed having you here. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's 7:48 right now. You're listening to Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. I got to read this message that we just got from John over on our YouTube chat. He says, yes. I appreciate very much these sorts of stories. While politics is important, sometimes looking at more tangible stories like these are needed. Thank you, John. We appreciate
you, John.
That comment this morning. We agree, which is why Titus was such a great guest talking about the invasive carp. And let's be real, we have a great outdoor recreation lifestyle here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's important we know these things, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Choke them off at the source. I don't know, as they begin their march from the south.
Sounds very dramatic.
Hey, I love it. I love the whole that these Asian carp are organizing. They're coming up in battalions. They're trying to get through, and we've got bubble gates and electric.
And let's be real, you like
sound.
To see. And let's be real, you like to watch them hit people. It's fine.
I do. Come on. If you don't find those videos funny, you're
dead
inside.
They're
hilarious. Because these people are just on a boat. They're having a good day. They're on the on the river. And then smack.
Yeah.
Big fish right in the face. Hey, friends, you only have about 6.5 minutes to get your entry in for the big Break Into Spring Multi-State Text to Win contest here on Civic Media. We have a new word, Jamie, and it's only good for another 6.5 minutes.
We do. The word is wake, W-A-K-E. Wake is your word this hour. Remember, you have to use your Civic Media app to text us that word. You can download that. If you don't have it and you missed out on this round, it's okay because there's going to be plenty of more rounds starting again at 9 o'clock this morning.
That's right.
This is your chance to qualify for a daily $200 cash prize or for our grand prize, which is a mattress set from Verlo, queen mattress set, I should say. I'm going to say almost $1,400 value because it comes in at about $1,360 once you add in the sheets and the mattress pad protector, the mattress itself, and all the pillows. So make sure you get us that word.
Yes, to your point, I remember not much about math, but always after 5, you always round
up. That's right.
So it's almost $1,400.
It is.
All right, here's something that always bothers me about education. It's when funding time comes, if there's a shortage, the things that seem to be targeted first are the arts, music programs or art programs, things like that, because some people believe those to be frivolous endeavors in school. And having watched my daughter go through band in not only grade school, then middle school, then high school, and seeing some of the band programs after she graduated at the local schools done away with because of money, it's a tragedy. And if you listen to any educational experts, they will tell you that in order to have a well-rounded student and a well-rounded human being down the road, arts are important.
Yes.
And I know, reading is important.
studying English is important. Math is important to some people. I don't understand why, but it is. And I, you know, that's fine. My future son-in-law is a chemist. All I remember from chemistry is the Bunsen burner and like three pneumatic devices from the periodic table.
Some things shouldn't mix. That's what I remember.
Right. And yeah, some things don't mix. Biology, I'll never get over the fetal pig dissection and the earthworm. So, but arts are important. That's why when I see this story out of Green Bay, it concerns me and it makes me not only angry, but sad. The Green Bay Public School District says it faces up to a $34 million budget deficit for the 27-28 school year. So the district is looking at cuts to several different programs, as well as benefits to employees to balance the budget. Some of these programs are, of course, the Fine Arts Institute at East High School and the International Baccalaureate Program at several schools. Now, the Fine Arts Program is exclusive to one high school. East High School. There are currently about 60 kids. Students have to apply to get into the program, and the district says it's disproportionately expensive than other school programming, and the district is conducting a study to see if it's worth the investment. They offer classes, just so you know. And Jamie, this would interest one of your sons who does this stuff for us. It visual arts,
yep.
Performing arts, and dance. It also provides private lessons to students as well as access to professionals in those fields. And there are a lot of kids who aren't going to go on to college to study business. They're not going to go on to study math or chemistry or history, but they're going to get into these fields, and it is beneficial.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the Green Bay Associate Superintendent said that because of the state funding and some of the budget cuts that are impacting these programs, not just Green Bay, but programs across the state as well, the district has to be more conscious of where it's spending its money. And of course, parents are saying that these programs are critical for students interested in fine arts. I mean, for some of these students, this is college prep courses, right? They're essentially going to go into school, do something in this field, and they need these courses. Now, the school board did meet earlier this week, and they are expected to rank certain things that could be cut for next year. This Fine Arts Institute is not something the board is planning to discuss. Parents and others are still likely to show up, though, and comment. I mean,
and there was no update this morning.
There was no update.
I was looking to see if
nothing yet. But you're right. I mean, the arts are, it uses that part of that brain that even if you're a very analytical human being, right, the art still uses that part of your brain that we don't get to use on a daily basis. And I think it's so important for anybody, whether it's students, whether it's adults, to be able in some way to express that creativity. I mean, we homeschooled, and one of the things that I really appreciated is that I was able to tailor music programs or any of those types of programs to what my kids liked. They've both done something in theater, never on stage, but they worked backstage. They've been part of the props and building sets and all of that kind of stuff, because that's still part of that creative process.
Yes.
Even if you're not a painter, you're not an artist, because that's the other thing. We think of just those things when we say fine art. But it's digital media. It's all of that that goes into
this. And I have watched kids who struggle in other areas in the classroom go into a music class, and suddenly they can focus and they're involved, and they can keep a rhythm, and they sing the songs. Or in art class, they could draw, because then you don't have to follow rules.
Right.
You can just let your creativity come out. And I've seen kids
flourish
who just are brilliant artists, and under the regular studies, nothing. When we come back, it's hour three. You got about 15 seconds to get your word in. It's Wake on the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.